A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls, and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show, and I hope you had a great weekend. May the Lord bless you a great deal. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And let's see. Last night I talked about Scientology quite a bit. And is on a podcast kind of a thing. Did that. And, well, I'll tell you, Scientology is interesting. We could talk about that. We could talk about all kinds of stuff. And, you know, it just occurred to me. I'm going to ask for prayer. Normally I don't do that, but the CARM website, things are going along, moving forward. We have 7,000 articles that we've written over a 25-year period, 7,000 articles on the site. And in order to get the site into the new position, the new CMS, we're going to have to format those 7,000 out. Man. Oh, boy, talk about a major job. So anyway, I could appreciate some prayers that we can get that work done. I can get some volunteers to do it, to help. It's going to take weeks and weeks and weeks, unless we get a lot of people. So, you know, just be great to have some prayers and stuff like that for that. All right, now we have 5 open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. That's interesting. Okay, got noise going outside. And I'm in Idaho, so we're having some nice weather here. Really nice, really nice. I don't know where you are and where you're listening from, but we're having great weather here right now. The kind of window, I mean, that you have when it's open. And someone just now started mowing the lawn. So I'm going to close the window and get going here. There we go. You know, nobody's been mowing anything days, all weekend, until I get right here on the air. All right. All right. We didn't have a Scientology debate, Joanne. We had, I just did a discussion on Scientology. That's what I did. So there's that. And if you want to give me a call, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. 877-207-2276. We have nobody waiting right now, so please give me a call. And, for those of you who are new to the show, this is a Christian apologetic show, and I don't always say what people want to hear. What I do is, to my best of my ability, is stick with what the Word of God says, and that offends a lot of people. And let me just tell you, if it offends you, sorry that it offends you, but I'm not sorry that it offends you. I'm not here to please you. I am here to speak the Word of God in truth, and that's what I want to do. I want to be able to help people understand who Jesus Christ really is, and what the truth of the Christian gospel is, and also to know that things like Mormonism is false, Jehovah's Witnesses is false, atheism doesn't work, evolution doesn't work, Roman Catholicism is false. Let's see. We can go into all kinds of isms and istics of things like that, and the reason I know they're false is because I compare them to the Word of God. That's what I do. I profoundly stick to the Word of God. That is the truth. And if you don't believe it, that's your loss. And you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, who's God in flesh. He has two natures. He's both God and man. And right now, he is a man in heaven. Believe it or not, he's in heaven as a man right now, with holes in his side, with holes in his feet. That's who Jesus Christ is right now. And he forever will be like that. That's who our Savior is. What an incredible humbling that he did in order to save us. We have 3 open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Melinda from Utah. Melinda, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, better than I deserve.
Good. So, what do you got?
I just wanted to say... Oh. I just wanted to say thank you so much. I have learned so much through the different studies that I've been doing through your courses. And it's just totally amazing, this new walk that I have been on since I decided to give my life to Christ my brain for real this time. And this journey has just been totally fantastic, and I've learned so much through both your show and through your books, and the congregation that I go to church with right now. They're just totally amazing, and they've helped me.
Really? So, what church do you go to? I know some churches down there, not too far away from me, so I don't know.
It's called City on the Hill in Provo, Utah.
In Provo?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know that one, but that sure rings a bell, though, City on the Hill thing. Yeah, I've got some friends in Sandy, and they're great folks. Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. They run Mormonism Research Ministry, and I've been over their house many times over the years. But yeah, I like Utah. A lot of nice people there, and stuff like that. So that's great. You know, you're learning. I like that. Praise God. So can you tell me, you know, if you want, you don't have to, but what kind of things are you learning from the teachings and stuff?
Oh, I'm learning how to defrag my brain from all the Mormon teaching I had over the last 29 years.
Okay.
So relearning the Word of God has been wonderful. At times it's been confusing, but I do appreciate my friends who have been able to help me through it. You know, and listening to your show whenever I can, when I'm not having to work all the time, it has been a great help. And I know that all of this is done through God, you know.
Yes.
And so to all praise and glory go to Him, because without Him, I'd be totally lost.
That's correct. Yeah. Without Jesus, we'd all be totally lost. He's our Savior. But I'm glad to hear it. How long have you been out of Mormonism?
Officially since October 6th last year.
Wow. So you know Mormonism is not true, that Joseph Smith was not a true prophet. The Book of Mormon is false.
Right.
Wow,
right.
You're so eager to just say it. And so let me quiz you a little bit. How many gods are there in all the universe, all places, and all time?
One.
Okay, and Jesus Christ is God in flesh. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And what do you do to have your sins forgiven?
Accept His sacrifice.
Okay. Do you have to do any good works?
Try to follow Him.
Yeah.
Oh, please, no.
Okay.
Because I know that whatever I would do would not be good enough for Him anyway.
Okay.
I've learned that.
Well, let me ask you one more thing. What brought you out of Mormonism? Was it a certain something or a series of somethings? What was it?
A series of somethings.
Okay.
I had originally joined the Mormon Church because my husband was a lifelong member, and at the time I was lost and I didn't know what to follow.
Okay.
And so I was more likely a people pleaser than anything, you know, and it was like the longer I stayed in it and the more that I saw that he wasn't practicing it, and the more I was reading and reading and reading, the more I realized this cannot be true, because the Bible and the Book of Mormon were clashing so much that there was just no way. There was just no way.
Good. Good for you. Now, just one more thing here. There's a ministry down there called Mormonism Research Ministry, and they're Christians. And some good friends of mine, Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson, are in Sandy, Utah. And if you go to their website, mrm.org, they're the experts on Mormonism. Now, I know a lot about it, but when I have questions, I just call them up and I ask. And they just are so full of great information. So if you ever have any real in-depth need to find something super in-depth that's close by, you can do that. And also, have you gone to Utah Lighthouse Ministry bookstore run by Sandra Tanner?
No, I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah, Sandra Tanner, you know, one of the Tanners is one of the apostles, I believe, and she and Gerald are the ones who started, basically, the first anti-Mormon ministry. Not that anti-Mormon, but anti-Mormonism. And where the, in Salt Lake there, where the baseball stadium is, they're across the street from that.
Mm-hmm.
And Sandra Tanner knows an incredible amount of stuff. They produce an incredible amount of information. And so they're the number one research ministry in the world, right there in Salt Lake City. So from, you know, Provo, I think it's like 40 minutes away, 40, 50 minutes. You can probably be there and check it out. But it's worth going to. And sometimes Bill and Eric are down there manning the tables down there. And I've helped them a few times, too. So, you know, it's cool. Been fun. So there's a lot of resources down there. Yeah, there is. I think all you got to do is go to the 15 freeway up there and get to it, and that's it. Anyway, I just want to help you out. But good. And
well,
praise
thank you.
God. Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome for what God is doing, you know, through me. But he gets all the glory. And so praise God.
Oh, amen to that, too.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Melinda. You got anything else?
Right now, no. Wait until I finish reading some of these books that you have, and then the questions will come.
Which books are you reading?
Right now, the one that I'm currently in is the Christian Defense Manual.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff there. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. Well, good. Hope you get through it. And I've written some novels, too, so you can check those out. They're kind of fun. All right?
Okay. When I'm ready for light reading, I will.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Well, God bless. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Well, that's Melinda from Utah. We have three open lines, folks. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let me get the number out again. 877-207-2276. Now, someone wanted to call and talk about suicide. And maybe I'll talk about it, maybe I won't. I want to know who that was and if you'd like to call back. I'd like to talk to you about that topic because it's a semi-frequent topic that comes up in suicide. Can someone be forgiven of that? And the answer is yes. But there's a consequence to it. There's a great deal of loss of reward in it. We can't lose our salvation. And there's a whole other issue related to that. Nevertheless, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, the number is 877-207-2276. Let's get to Dennis from California. Hey, Dennis. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hello. Hey, can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Listen, my issue with the church at large is all of these guys with the name pastor in front of their names that don't seem to have a clue what it means.
What does it mean?
Well, the church, well, someone that has a heart for people and will follow up and look for signs of trouble. I dropped some stink bombs, things that should have been red flags for our pastors in front of our pastors and elders, with no even raised eyebrows or follow up or anything. And I've been a faithful servant there, and I don't know if it's wrong. My attitude is wrong about I feel I need some care, I need some nurturing, I need some attention, you know, from time to time. Mm-hmm. And I see other people with the same, going through the same kind of things. You know.
Well, I'll tell you, we got a break coming up. You want to hold on, and we can talk about that a little bit, okay? But when we get back from the break, all right? All right. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. I'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, buddy. Welcome back to the show. And let's get back on the air with Dennis from California. Dennis, welcome back on the air. Now, let me ask you, did you have a question? Because you're talking about the issue of pastors and stuff not really doing their job, at least the church you're going to. So, do you have a question?
I've known a couple of men that were really good friends and pastors to me in the past, mm-hmm. but since the place we've been for about 15 years, I can't seem to get any friendships or closeness with them, and they don't seem to be able to see warning signs be able to answer the questions I have.
Just they curious, what city do you live in? Where are you?
Paso Robles.
Where?
Paso Robles.
Oh, Paso Robles? Okay, you're up there.
You were talking about a little bit about suicide here just a minute ago, where that the 26-year-old committed suicide by cop here in our city. You are right across the freeway from where we live, actually. Before he got killed by cops, he injured four police officers.
Yeah I knew a guy. I had a friend here in the local area who tried that, but the cops wouldn't kill him. He killed himself. Things happen all over the place. But nevertheless, the pastor's issue, and by the way, I know where Paso Robles is, a nice little town. The pastor's issue, Paso Robles, you don't have as many churches to go to. You have to kind of travel up and down the coast, not on the coast, but you're inland a little bit. You got to go here and there to find some better churches. But maybe there's something in Paso Robles. It's not a small city, so there should be some good churches out there.
Oh, there's plenty. There's plenty of churches.
Yeah. So I would just say pray and just ask God to direct you to a church. That's what I would do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sure.
Just ask him. It's a nice area, Paso Robles. I actually entertained the idea of moving there once, and it didn't happen, but it's a nice area. So.
Yep, we like it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like you said, it's kind of endemic, I think, from talking to other people, that they're some of these guys, they go to seminary or cemetery, some people call it, and it doesn't seem like they ever get any training on how to love people.
Yeah.
How to look for signs. I mean, I feel that a church or elders and leaders of a church should be out putting their finger on people's chest or putting them on their back or on the shoulder or whatever and saying, I see you got this issue, or I see that you got this talent that you can be used here. Can we help
right.
you?
Well, that's what they're supposed to be doing for the equipping of the saints. And not all seminary graduates are bad. And I'm a seminary graduate, and I know several who graduated from seminary and was very helpful. But people call them cemeteries. That's not a wise thing to do. Some are bad, but some are good. But so we want people who are educated and trained. So that's good. But I'm with you. Just pray that you can find a group that'll do that. But one of the things that is a good idea is to go to a church, not you go to get fed, of course, and be instructed, but also to give and to provide in the body of Christ there. And then that generally helps other things as well. People become more willing to spend time with you, because I got to tell you something, pastors can be overwhelmed by people who want their personal time constantly. And it can become very daunting for pastors, because there's so many people who want just to spend time with a pastor. I'm not saying it's the case with you, but just as a heads up, they want time with the pastor, come over, spend time with me, just talk. And they got 800 things they got to do. And it's unfortunate, but that's just part of some of the issues that pastors are going to deal with. But they're supposed to be able to...
I appreciate that. And just as a comment, the reason I've stuck around where I'm at is because we were getting the tag of being the church hoppers. So I didn't want to do that again. And the last church, it kind of faded away. So we bailed out. And I determined at that point that I was just going to go and serve, like you said. And that worked. Okay. It worked really well for the last 12, 15 years.
Okay.
But at some point, I figured when I'm needy, then they should be there for me.
Hopefully. That's what they should be doing, and the elders should be involved with you. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to find a new church, it looks like. All right, big man.
Thank you.
All right, well, God bless.
Bye.
Okay, bye. All right, let's get on the phones with Daniel from North Carolina. Daniel, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right. What do you got?
Okay, so, I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm a, you know, I'm a Christian follower, a disciple, and I work with a lot of non-Christian people, and so, you know, we're called to, you know, preach the word to non-believers, and one of them asked me an interesting question that I did not exactly know the answer to, and so they asked me, like, you know, like in the movies, someone will get hit by a car, and then, or they get shot or something like that, something crazy, then, like, they say a cuss word before they die. And then they die. And then they ask me, okay, well, like, what if you're, like, a follower of Christ? You know, if he's so just, then he lets you in, right? And I said, yes, God is just. But then they countered that and said, no sin can enter heaven. Isn't that correct? And I was like, that's also correct. And so I was like, I don't exactly know what to say there.
So what's the problem?
And I just want to know, I told them I'd asked someone. And I give back to them with an answer because I didn't want to give them false information.
So the idea of dying with sin, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, let me ask you: how do you get rid of your sin? How do you get rid of your sin?
By repenting. By repenting to Jesus Christ.
No, that's incorrect. It's not correct.
Oh.
That's a false teaching. Okay. Repentance. Repentance is something Mormons can do. Something Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholics, atheists can do. Turning from something that's wrong doesn't mean that what's wrong is now forgiven. The only way to be forgiven of our sins is by our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's how their sins are forgiven. Not by repentance. So whoever taught you repentance is how you get forgiveness of sins taught you a false gospel. Flat out.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, so that you need to know the truth is you can learn how to answer these guys. We don't die with our sin. Jesus died with our sin. We died with Christ, Romans 6:6, Romans 6:8. We're crucified with Christ. And because we are in him when he died on the cross, we died with him. And therefore our sins died with him, all of our sins. So any Christian who dies has all of his sins already paid for, already taken care of. Even the ones, let's say he's driving on the road and he has a very bad thought, lustful thought, covetous thought, and he dies before he says, oh, that's wrong for me to think, and he dies before that. Well, that's paid for. We do not keep our salvation by how good we are. We don't maintain or obtain our salvation by our compliance with anything in the law, because the law says don't lie. So if we stop lying, that's compliance with the law. That's not what saves us. Our faith in Christ is what saves us. So please hold on. We'll go through this a little bit more after the break, okay? Hey, folks, we have three open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Daniel? Oh, Daniel's gone. So let me just reiterate this, folks. This is important. Maybe some of you are confused by what I said, so let me be clear. Repentance is not what saves us. What saves us is faith in Jesus. It's not our compliance with the law. Repentance is to change your mind and do what is right. How do you know what's right? By what the Bible says. If you're lying and you're stealing, the Bible says do not lie, do not steal. So therefore you know those things are wrong and you repent of them. But those things that you stop doing doesn't mean you get salvation. By not doing something is not how you get salvation. Furthermore, the Bible says to honor your mother and your father. Well, if you honor your mother and your father, is that what gets you salvation? Of course not. What gets you salvation is faith in Christ. We are justified by faith, Romans 5:1 says. We're not made right before God in the law. That's what justification is. This does not occur by anything we do, by any compliance with the law, by any act of repentance. If any of you have been told that you must repent of your sins in order to get forgiven of your sins, that's a false gospel. I am not saying it's okay to continue in your sins. The true gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We put faith and trust in what Jesus did. That's what makes us right before God. That's what justifies us before the law of God. Not what we do and not what we don't do. And not what we start doing as far as the law and being good. And not what we stop doing as far as the law and being bad goes. Ought we repent? Of course we should. But repentance is not what gets us salvation. Plus, repentance and faith combined don't get us salvation. It's faith in Christ alone. So it's not repentance and faith, it's faith. God grants that we have repentance, 2 Timothy 2:25, just as he grants that we believe, Philippians 1:29. And our believing is the work of God, John 6:28, 29. So what I'm trying to tell people is, do not believe that you have to stop doing something in order to be forgiven of your sins. You have to trust in Christ in order to be forgiven of your sins. And anybody and everybody who trusts in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins will also repent of their sins. They must repent of their sins, and they should repent of their sins. You cannot continue in your sin willingly, purposefully, and also be a Christian. Now again, repentance is part of being a Christian, but it's the result of regeneration in us. It's not the thing that brings us forgiveness of sins. So this is something very important. We ought to turn from our sins. God commands everyone everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. But our salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, is not based on that repentance. It's based on faith in Christ. And we ought to repent, turn from our sins. But those aren't the things, repentance, those aren't the things that save us. Faith in Christ does. You need to repent of your sins. But you have to understand that your justification before God is by faith alone in Christ alone. That's what the truth is. I hope people learn that, because that's what's necessary. Let's get on the air with Timothy from Raleigh, North Carolina. Timothy, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Jehovah bless and keep you, Matt. I had a quick question. After listening to the woman give her testimony about coming out of Mormonism, mm-hmm. and I've been a believer for 35 years and solidly so, and understand the way of love, and that Jesus's message was one of love, and God's message from Genesis to Revelation is that. One of the things I've noticed about the Mormon church and the Jehovah's Witnesses and Muslims, Islam, is that they're very family oriented, and so they are trying to draw people in to that family environment. And yet I recently watched BYU channel and was watching some of their Bible studies and saw these very brilliant, intelligent men sitting there explaining the fuller revelation from the Mormon book. And they make it sound like it makes sense. What is it that you can say to a Mormon, to a Islam, to a Catholic, to a Jehovah's Witness that will help begin to draw them out from that deception that they're under?
Well, it's easy. What you can say is something like, Lord Jesus, please be merciful to them. And please give them light. Please open their hearts to the truth mm-hmm. of your word. Sure. They will not follow a false gospel. Yeah. So those are the words. Those are things you can say. You say them to God and you preach. I mean, you ask God to work. That's the first thing. The second thing is you have to understand, of course, families are important. And God does want us to have good families. But what I try and tell people is that I'm not knocking the idea of family care and the importance of family relationships. It's just that that's not the substance of the faith of Christianity. The substance of the faith of Christianity is Christ and Him crucified. And that they need to understand that anything that takes their eyes off of Jesus and puts it onto something else, this is bad. So if they love their family more than Jesus, then they're idolaters. If they love their work, their jobs more than Jesus, they're idolaters in that sense. And they need to look to Christ. Now, in Mormonism, for example, they don't pray to Jesus. They don't have fellowship with Jesus, even though the Bible says to have fellowship with Christ in 1 Corinthians 1:9. And Jesus is prayed to, John 14:14, and 1 Corinthians 1:2. But they don't do that. None of the cults will pray to Jesus because they've reduced who he is. So to substitute that kind of fellowship with the true and living God, they replace it with family life, with family this, which sounds good, and it is good, except not when it's replacing.
And with works.
And with works. That's true.
And they replace it with works, yeah. But they're working their way. They have to do certain things, jump through so many hoops to achieve their status within the kingdom of whatever it is that they're preaching.
Right. That's how cults are. False doctrines are based on your ability to maintain your place with God through your efforts. And that's
right. And they're adding to Jesus. There's Jesus plus everything I can do.
Right. Yeah. And all false religions.
So, which is what you were talking about earlier, which is we're saved only by our trust in Jesus Christ, not by anything that we do, not our repentance, not saying the right words. It's our heartfelt trust and belief that everything that Jesus did was enough.
That's right. Yeah, that's correct. Well, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate that. Okay.
Okay. Enjoy your show. Thank you, Matt.
Well, good. I'm glad. God bless. All right.
God bless.
That was Timothy. Okay. Sorry. Let's get to Lisa from New York. Lisa, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Well, I've been trying to call you or contact you, but it's been kind of difficult. But finally, I'm here on the line. I'm the one who's been telling you about San Shimon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a video that I used to hear him, and one day he started talking about the Queen of Heaven, Mary, as being the Queen of Heaven, and I refute him, and other people also refute him, but he says that, like, there's no proof that she died. That means that she's alive in heaven, and that we could pray to her. I know we can't, because she do not have the powers that God have of omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscience.
Right.
And, well, we've been, like, arguing with different Catholics in this page, the one that says the Queen of Heaven and the Bible. And he blocked one of my friends that she's been trying to refute these arguments with the Catholics who are online.
Okay.
Now they're very happy that they have San Shimon on their side.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate. I know Sam, and I've talked with him many times, and I may have to take some time out of my very busy schedule and do a little bit of research and then contact him. Because if he is teaching this stuff about the Queen of Heaven, it's okay to pray to Mary, then he's teaching false doctrine, if he's teaching it. So I'll have to verify that. You can save me the verification. You want to hold on? We got a break coming up. Hold on, okay?
Sure.
We'll be right back, folks. After these messages, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Let's get back with Lisa from New York. Lisa, you're back on the air.
Thank you. He was reciting some verses from the Bible. Right now, I don't have them. I'm so sorry. But it talks that we will be kings and queens in heaven, reigning with Jesus. And he says that since she's in heaven, that she's already reigning in heaven, and that's why he's saying that she is the Queen of Heaven right now. So that was the, okay. When I heard that, I was like, no, that's not true, you know. But that was the major issue. That's why we're not hearing him anymore. And but he also said that you can have images of Jesus and Mary, but you cannot bow to them. We refute that too, but he says that we could have images of Mary and everything. And mostly that we could pray to her because she's there and she hears us.
Could you... email me the sources of that information, like it's a video or whatever it is, and also when in the video that he says it, and send it to me at info@carm.org, and I can
okay.
I can review sure. these things, and I can write an article on it. So yeah, I know Sam, and he's brilliant when it comes to Islam. I mean, he's just incredible. But
yes, he is.
Yeah, he is. In fact, he actually moderated a debate I was in, and we've talked many times.
Really?
But the thing is, if he's teaching this is bad stuff, and that just means he'll be going into Catholicism if he isn't already there. So we'll see how far he goes, if that's the case. I've been hearing this so frequently now, but I am so incredibly busy that I have major projects as we move our website from the old style to the new style. It's requiring me to supervise and recruit people to help format 7,000 articles. It's just a monumental job. So it's like, oh my goodness. So anyway, I could put maybe I'll get a cot in here with a coffee machine, and I can just sleep in my office for 24 hours. You know, just stay here all the time and work. But any rate, wow. So yeah, I'll have to take some time out and work on that as well. Okay, so send me the information.
Well, I refute him badly about that because I used to be Catholic for 40 years. I was tired of hearing all these gossip about the church, so I asked Jesus, because I used to ask the priest to answer me questions about the Bible, and he never knew nothing about the Bible. It was right. Like I was like, what? He's supposed to be. You know, he's supposed to know the Bible, but I noticed that he didn't know nothing about the Bible. And when I gave him some verses, Exodus 20, he was like, oh, we could talk about that another time. So I asked directly Jesus, and I started studying the Bible. I've been studying the Bible for quite a few years already. I'm not in no, I came 9 years from Puerto Rico. Now okay. I'm living in New York. I started visiting a Catholic church here, but since I've been reading so much the Bible, now I'm not visiting no church. And when I go to get a sound doctrine church, I don't find it.
Yeah, if you've been hearing me for a while on the radio, you know that I teach that the Roman Catholic Church is not the true Christian church. It's a false church. It's apostate. Because it teaches a false gospel.
Yeah,
it does. It teaches a false gospel. Paragraph 2068 in the Catechism says we're saved by, you obtain salvation through faith, baptism, and the observance of the commandments. So it's works-based. And it makes it a false group. So, you know, just stay away from the Catholic Church. Keep talking to Mary. I mean, just heresy there. Keep talking to Jesus. I can't believe I said that. Keep. People, you know, someone's going to take that out of context. Say, well, that's what Matt said. One time, somebody actually, when I was preaching, guest preaching at a church, been there many times, and someone, the elders came down, and they were laughing. And I said, after I preached, they said, what? I said, what? They said, you know what you said up there? And they're smiling. I said, what did you say?
to Mary.
No. I said, Jesus is not God. I said, what?
My goodness.
Yeah. And they said, we knew what you were saying in the context. You just messed up, and you kept going. But they were laughing, and I go, oh, man. You know, it happened. You slip up. But they said, we got it on tape. We could prove it. You know, they were smiling. But anyway, so... she's not the queen of heaven. Just where's that in the Bible? The queen of heaven. And besides, what does that mean? What does it mean for her to be the queen of heaven? She's the queen. Well, who's the king of heaven? Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, or the God himself? Who is the king and who's the queen? Because king and queen are married. So who's the queen of heaven? And what authority does she have? And what would happen if you didn't make a sandwich? Now, that's a serious question, because in VeggieTales, one of the accounts there, one of the queens did not make a sandwich for the king. She got kicked out of the kingdom. So, that's a bit of a joke. Un chiste. Okay?
Okay. Well, I will find again all the information about that and the time exactly when he faced those things so that you could check it out.
I will.
The website is in your live stream right now, right?
Let me get down there and look at that. But it's just carm.org is my website, carm.org. Have you ever been there? Carm?
Well, I've been to your, yes. It announced me, because I've been watching you for like 2 or 3 weeks already. My friend recommended you.
Good.
And I've learned a lot with you already.
Well, good. There's a lot more to learn. So you'll have about 6 months before you start hearing a lot of repetition and you go, yeah, okay, gotcha. But hopefully you'll continue to listen. But I'll say some things you may not agree with, but here's the thing. Always check what I say against Scripture. That's it. Compare it with Scripture, okay?
That's what I do.
Good for you. Very good. Very good. Yeah, love to hear that. Okay?
I just hope I could find a church, but let's see. The three questions that I got, I always ask if it's a Trinitarian. I always ask if they speak in languages, and if they do, I won't go. If they're not Trinitarian, I won't go either. So,
well, here, let me help you out a little
bit. I'm trying to find
out. Speaking in tongues is not bad. It is biblical. You go to 1 Corinthians 14 for that. Now, I believe in the speaking in tongues. I don't do it, and I don't believe that a lot of churches that do that are very good, because they misuse it and they go wacko. I think that's what you're talking about, is the wacko stuff that people do. So there are churches that believe it.
Yeah,
like, for example, Calvary Chapel is a good basic church to go to, and you'll be safe there, but they believe that it's possible to do those things, to speak in tongues, but they don't do it in their congregations. They're not wacko. So that's an example of something. I do have Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Okay, what I mean is that if everybody speaks English or Spanish or if everybody speaks the same language, why are they going to speak in language? That's only to communicate if somebody is out of the language. And every time I hear when they speak in tongues, it's a mess. You don't even understand what's
right.
What I mean is that I guess that if when you speak in tongues, you hear a language. It's like if I hear Chinese, I don't know what they're saying, but I know they're speaking a language.
Yeah, we could get into that some other time if you want, what the views on tongues are. But I tell you what, you can go to carm.org, the website that I've been working on for almost 25 years, and you can look up what should we look for in a church. What things should we look for in a church? I've got some things listed out there and some warning things. Oh. So if a church has, always ask this too, if they have women pastors and elders, stay away from it. Okay?
Just
stay away. That's one of the things. And ask about homosexuality. Ask about, are they Christ-centered? Ask, what do they have to do to get their salvation? If they say, be baptized and repent, it's a false church. Because baptism and repentance are things we ought to do, but that's not how we get our sins forgiven. We get our sins forgiven by faith alone in Christ alone, trusting in Him.
Exactly.
So there's things like that are in there. And I go through and list 12 things that if they teach or something to watch out for. All right? And then you can, what I recommend you do is find churches online and call them up and ask them questions. And say, what about this? What about that? And then if they don't pass, don't go. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Thank you so much. I'll check that on the webpage, and I'll send you the information.
Sounds good. Appreciate that. All right. Well, God bless.
God bless you, too. Good night.
Good night. All right. That was Lisa from New York. Let's get on the phones with Brian from Chicago. Brian, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
Doing all right. What do you got, buddy?
All right. I actually had a question. I mean, this question was mentioned, you know, I was in a chat section, basically, in a, on YouTube. And someone asked the question that, can someone be Christian by just believing in Christ and not believing in inerrancy of the scriptures?
Oh, inerrancy. Technically, technically, yes. Because believing in inerrancy is not something you have to agree to in order to be a Christian. Christians, they trust in Christ. But there's a problem with that view. If they were to say that the Bible is not inerrant, that it has problems, then that's a difficult issue to work through with them, because if they're going to believe Jesus Christ is God in flesh, the Trinity's true, he died on the cross, rose from the dead, justification by faith, these are what the Bible, these things teach what the Bible, or excuse me, these things are found in the Scriptures. If someone's going to say that the Scriptures are not true in all areas, then how do they know those things are true? And there's an inconsistency that they're going to have to deal with at that point. So when someone tells me they believe in Jesus but not the inerrancy of the Scriptures, I'll say, can you please show me in the Scriptures those things that are not correct? Just show me.
Okay.
And
all right,
they don't.
That was a question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and regarding the other caller mentioning Sam Shimon, mm-hmm. I called yesterday regarding that, and it's like 2 hours video. I'm working on it to actually, you know, making it like telling you every single minute, like in this minute he said this, he goes,
ooh,
like,
wow.
Yeah, trying to work on it. It's almost 2 pages now.
Excellent.
And I've been arguing with him back and forth, and you know, because I told him that people are actually, you know, coming here listening to you, that you're saying you can pray to saints, idols are okay, basically, you know, icons and stuff. And I told them that I'm getting bothered seeing people in your comment section that we are going back to our Catholic faith. And I mentioned it to him, and he's like, just, who cares? Let him go back.
Oh, my goodness. That's a serious issue if he said that. But you know what? I need to verify these things. So if you're working on that,
I know.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
that's something that's very serious. So, yeah. Yeah, Sam's been through a lot over the years.
By the end of today, I will send it to you.
Hey, we got to go. There's the break, man, or the end of the show. Sorry about that, but I want that info, okay? Thanks a lot, Brian.
God bless you. Take care.
You too, man. God bless. Hey, folks, we're out of here. There's the music. May the Lord bless you this evening. And by his grace, be back on here tomorrow. And we'll talk to you then. Have a great evening. God bless you.